views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to The Empty Toolbox. Fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up with Meg Thompson. Tune in the first Wednesday every month, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Meg is a certified behavioral consultant and certified life coach working with children, adults, and families. She combines humor, non-traditional strategies that work, as well as challenge mainstream ideas. She is thinking real-life success. Emotional wellness for all children is always her goal. Have you opened your toolbox lately, and is it empty? Are you fresh out of strategies and need new ones? Then the Empty Toolbox is for you. Tune in to engage in the three essential F's of an overflowing toolbox. Now here's your host, Meg Thompson. Hello, everyone. My name is Meg Thompson, and you are listening to The Empty Toolbox on Transformation Talk Radio. A little bit about myself. I'm a certified behavioral consultant and life coach working with children, adults, and families. I also do workshops in the evening and on weekends, and sometimes all-day workshops to help teachers bring new tools into their classroom. Because this is my very first toolbox, and I'm sweating through my clothes, and I'm so nervous, I wanted to tell you a couple things about myself before we get started. So in my brain, I don't have ducks. I don't have a row. I have squirrels, and they are drunk. And you're probably thinking, okay, so this girl is drunk squirrels, and I'm wondering why she's telling me that. I'm telling you that because I'm going to tell stories, and I might get lost halfway through. I talk fast, which you probably have noticed already, and sometimes I pause for a long time. It's all because my squirrels are hard at work, and because I'm wearing headphones, I can't run around my living room like I want to. So I'm sitting here neatly in my office chair with my 10 pages of notes, way outside my comfort level, and hoping to get through this hour and sound intelligent. So here goes nothing. Are you ready? Okay. So I am here to help you fill up. Today, we're going to talk about filling up your toolbox with discipline strategies. So have you misplaced your toolbox and you used to have strategies that were top notch because your first kid for you was so easy? You had a second child and you thought, oh my gosh, where are the tools that I had and why are they not working? Do you feel like you've lost your flow and you're like, yowza, what am I doing? Have you opened your toolbox and there are dust bunnies way, 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 way at the bottom and you're thinking, I don't even know how to dust those tools off. I don't even know if they're going to be useful. Are you looking for strategies that are going to work, that are going to be proactive so you don't have to be reactive and keep the emotional wellness of yourself and your child fired up? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about discipline. And I start with discipline because that's probably where I get the most questions. How can I implement strength-based discipline and how can I do it effectively? So today we're going to go over the 12 guiding principles by Alfie Kohn, found in his book, Unconditional Parenting. So grab a piece of paper and a pencil and we're going to get started. Are you ready? All right. So the first tool in your toolbox, the first guiding principle is be reflective. Man, this is a hard one, really hard. And why is it hard? Because a lot of people try to be self-reflective. So I tried to be self-reflective. I have a master's in early childhood education. And I tried to be self-reflective and I thought I was. I thought I was out there showing how fun and engaging I was, showing people that I was easy to talk to. And I had a friend of mine that watches my son, who was also my co-teacher when I taught kindergarten. And she said, well, Brennan, who is my six-year-old son, but he was three at the time. She said, Brennan has your intensity. And I looked at her and I said, do you think I'm intense? She goes, do you think you're not intense? And for me, that was eye-opening. So I'm 40 years old. That's when I was 37 and a half. So I did not know for 37 and a half years that I have this intensity, this passion. A lot of people call it passion. I think that's just a nice word for the intensity. And people find me intimidating. And to me, to this day, at 40 years old, I still think, I'm not sure if I'm intimidating. I talk a lot about, I mean, because I have a six-year-old son, fart and poop, poopy head and peepee face. We talk about that a lot. And so now, 3 years into this knowledge of me being intense, I am more reflective about when I am too close to somebody, when I am too loud. I feel like I should call about 100 of my kindergarten students and say, sorry, I was really loud and really bonkers, and it was too much for you. I didn't know that. Next month, we're going to talk about the DISC model, D-I-S-C model, and that is what helped me become more self-reflective. So next month in September, we will check that out. The second tool in my toolbox is reconsider your request. So is your child hearing your request the way you mean it to be heard? What are you asking your child of your child? What are you asking of your child? Will it take time to complete what you're asking? Is it even appropriate? Is it appropriate developmentally? Is it age appropriate? We're going to get a little bit. There's another tool that explains that a little bit more as we go. So I was in a home, and there was a little boy, and he was in public school. He was in kindergarten. And the two rules at lunch were don't turn around in line and don't stand up at lunch. He thought both of these rules were so dumb. He was like, really? Those are dumb rules. I agree, they're dumb. I can see why the teachers at the school made them. Because if you stand up at lunch, you only have 20 minutes. You need to sit down, you need to focus, and you need to eat. He had a hard time with focus. He has a little bit of squirrels. So he had a hard time focusing. So the rule was sit down at lunch. You can't turn around in line because eventually the line will go and you will be talking to somebody and you will not know that it has gone. So you will not be able to follow. I get why those rules are in place. For a five-year-old, he thought they were silly. He called them dumb. And I said, okay. So the mom wanted him to follow those two rules. And I said, okay, at what point do you realize the rules are dumb? And then we teach you what rules to follow and what rules not to follow. And the mom looked at me and said, oh, right. That's interesting. So we have to figure out what we are asking kids to do and figure out, is that a request that is going to be helpful for them? It's going to be hurtful for them if it's going to take time. So put that one. Reconsider your request is our second one. So we have be reflective. We'll talk more about that right next month. That one's going to be really exciting. Reconsider your request. Are you having children do things that aren't age or developmentally appropriate? So keep your eye on the long-term goals. That is your third one. So what are your long-term goals for your children? And know that there are no quick fixes. This is the one I get all the time. I get called into homes, I get called into schools, and people want me to come in there with a magic wand with the quick fix. And I have a quick fix. And everybody, when I say this at workshops, they all look at me like, oh my gosh, she has a quick fix. What is it? They think I'm a miracle worker. And they're like on the edge of their seat and they're looking at me with big, big starry eyes, like, tell me what it is. Nobody wants to do the one that's a quick fix. Is anybody thinking about, are you thinking about what it is? Write it down. See, write it down what your quick fix is. I get work with the child. Be polite. Love. Engage them. All of those are wonderful strategies. But the quick fix is hurting. If you hurt a child, they will listen to you. And then they will listen out of what? I know you all said fear, because that's what I get in my workshops. They all listen out of fear. So when infants are born, they are born with two emotions. They are born with joy and fear. All of my strategies in this toolbox that you are going to build and we are going to build together for months and months and months will be anchored in love, will not be anchored in fear. So when I say that to teachers and parents that you have a quick fix, it is hurting, they all look at me and they go, I can't do that. I can't do a, I can't hurt kids. And I was like, I know. So we have to think of other strategies. So 98% of the time, challenging behaviors are a lack of skill. So a kid not knowing how to do something, or an unmet need. So needs not being met in the way the kids need them met. So because of that, we have to teach skills and meet needs, and then time and patience. Those become our best friends. So wrap up time, wrap up patience, put them in your toolbox, dust them off, keep them down there. Time and patience are our two best friends. Because we have to teach skills and meet needs, we are not going to do that with punishment, right? We just talked about that. We don't want to do it with physical punishment or emotional punishment. We also don't want to ignore behavior in children. So I get a lot of times, oh, we'll just ignore the behavior. That only intensifies the behavior. The other one that we talk a lot about in my field of behavior is sticker charts and reward systems. Know that sticker charts assume kids know what is asked of them, and they're choosing not to do it. Most of the time, the child has not learned the skill yet. So we have to teach them that skill. And it's not through earning stickers. It's not through tokens or dollar bills or pipe cleaners or special time with an iPad, because taking that iPad away is even worse than giving it in the first place. They're probably successful while they're on the iPad. Taking it away is really, really, really tough. So we're not doing stickers. We are not doing reward systems. We are not doing punishment. We are not ignoring the behavior, because for my temperament anyway, you ignored the behavior and I think, oh, you can't hear me? Interesting. I'll say that louder, or I'll do that fiercer, or I'll be more sassy, or I'll be fresh. I'll make sure you hear me. So those are the first three. So our first three in the toolbox are be reflective, reconsider your request, keep your eye on the long-term goals. So if you're looking for alternative ways to get professional development hours, if you're a teacher, if you're sick of listening to boring workshops, then don't forget, on my website, this podcast will be on my website. And if you answer a couple self-reflective questions, bam, an hour of self professional development credit. So go to megthompson.com. Meg has two G's, M-E-G-G, thompson.com. Don't forget that second G. Thanks.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Are you looking to grow spiritually, expand your consciousness, increase psychic abilities? Well, there's a free app for that. Pure Light offers audios that transmit high spiritual frequencies to help you awaken to your full potential. Hundreds of audios created by some of the world's top energy healers, and many are free. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Be willing to make a change for the good. If you want to know what your thoughts were like in the past, look at your body today. If you want to know what your body will be like in the future, look at your thoughts today. This was Deepak Chopra who said that. And it's true. But it's never, ever too late to make a change. And many things can be reversed. If you put your mind into it and make an effort, now you can make the change and tomorrow you will feel much better. Start now and look forward. Past is the past. There's no future in it. But in the now, you can find the future for tomorrow. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
All right, we're back. Did you miss me? All right, you're listening to The Empty Toolbox with Meg Thompson on Transformation Talk Radio. So before the break, we talked about being reflective. We talked about considering your request and choosing language carefully. And your two new best friends, which are, I hope you chanted them out at me, time and patience. So now we're going to move on to our fourth guiding principle. I hope you're writing these down. So here we go. Get your pen ready. So the fourth one is, put the relationship first. So this is what I talk about. Remember, before the break, I talked about everybody wants me to have a magic wand. If I was going to choose a magic wand and I was going to bippity boppity boop, like I would be the Cinderella fairy godmother, it is relationships. Relationships is where I would go with my magic wand. So a quote from a book called Beyond Behavior Management by Jenna, I'm going to mess up her last name, Bilmes. If she ever finds this, I looked on lots of websites to see if they would say it phonetically. It's B-I-L-M-E-S. So it's either Bilmes or Bilmes or Bilmes. I don't know. So if Jenna ever hears this, I'm sorry I butchered your name. People butcher mine all the time, and I apologize. She has a great quote in her book, the book Beyond Behavior Management. It says, when you strengthen your relationship with a child, you earn the possibility of influencing their development. Only when you heal your relationships with difficult children can you help them heal their behavior. Attachment is the single most important piece to start the healing when you are faced with a child with challenges. It is the most essential to examine your personal relationship with that child and to find ways to strengthen that relationship. So that is where I shine. I think I am really good with relationships, even better now that I know that intensity piece that I talked about before the break. I am not good at chemistry. Cheated my way out of that. I am not good at astronomy. Cheated my way out of that. Not good at geometry. Also cheated my way out of that. But in school, when was I ever tested on relationships? That was never a course. That was never something I could get a grade in. Children are drawn to me very quickly. And a lot of parents in homes are nervous that kids aren't going to like me. I think kids picture me like to be like green with warts all over, or my skin is like wrinkly and sagging or on fire, or I don't know, something. And they think that I'm going to look goofy. And I walk in and I've had so many kids look at me and go, oh, you just look like a regular girl. And the parents are so scared they're not going to like me. And I go in and the kids love me right away. When I leave the house, I get texts from the parents that say, he can't wait or she can't wait for you to come back. She loves having you here. She has opened up more to you than to a therapist she went to for 2 years. So that is where we have to start. We have to share the power in the relationship. There will be at some point, maybe in October, we'll talk more about relationships. But just know that the relationship is the key piece to helping kids with challenging behaviors. So that's tool number four. Tool number five, write this down. Change how you see, not just how you act. So what if we saw children as just that? Children are imperfect humans that make mistakes over and over and over again, just like we do. If we just are thinking into that situation with different eyes, imagine the successes we will have. So we have to look at, kids are going to mess up. They're going to mess up a lot. They're going to have a lot of practice. Remember what challenging behaviors are. What are they? An unmet need and a lack of skill. If you have a lack of skill in something, what happens? You're going to keep going over and over and over again. Like I told you, my lack of skills in geometry, I could have taken it every semester for I don't know, when did I take it? When I was 18. So every semester for 22 years, and I still would fail geometry. I am still bad at that. Some kids are still working on things, time and patience. Remember time and patience with this one. So my son is born with my humor. And that makes my husband really happy, I think. He was born with my humor. So at 3, we started to teach him when it was appropriate to use potty language. When it was appropriate to use, to say poop jokes. Because we knew when he turned 4, there was going to be a poopy head and a pee-pee face. And he knows he can't say them at the table. He knows we can't say them out in public. He knows that we can't say them in a restaurant or in Barnes & Noble. And he also knows that in the morning, I'm not... my humor is not spot on. I'm grumpy in the morning. Every morning I'm grumpy. And about after 7:30, I'm grumpy. And he knows not to use the humor with me, right? We had to teach him the rules of humor. He's 6 now. He's still figuring it out. That's 3 years later. And know that the biggest offender of pee-pee head and poop head and pee-pee face is me at the dinner table, not my son, who is 6. So that's number 5. So change how you see, not just how you act. Make sure you see that kids are imperfect and they need a lot of time to process, a lot of time to learn. So the 6th one is respect. Anybody want to sing it with me? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take care. T-C-B. I had to look that up. I don't even know what T-C-B stands for, but I looked it up to make sure I got it right when I sang it for you all. You're welcome. So why do we give adults respect? And because kids are smaller, do they deserve less respect? I think not. So what do we, so my small list of things we should respect in kids that I don't see a lot of times are temperament. So are you fast or slow? Do you love people? Do you love getting tasks done? Are you dominant? Are you interactive? Are you supportive? Are you cautious? You're a combination of all of those. That is the one. Temperament is what we're going to talk about next month. So if you have questions about that, star it, circle it, highlight it. We're going to get into that next month. Physiological needs. So hungry, tired, going to the bathroom. Those are not respected. Some kids are just thirsty. Some kids are just tired. Physiological need. Oh, I did that one already. Their viewpoint on any given situation. So how we see it is not always how they see it. So we have to make sure that when we are seeing something, we ask more questions for kids. That was the one before, ask more questions. I think that one's going to be the one. That one's coming up, actually. That's going to be number 8, so hold that thought. Their worth as humans. Smaller packages, same worth. You get the same worth as humans. And I work with a lot of kids with trauma, and they have a lot of challenging behaviors. They have the same worth. They have been showed that they don't have it maybe as we get, their life started. So we are going to show them that just because they're little humans doesn't mean they have less worth. They have 100% of the worth that we have. So another one in my small list is their abilities. So every child has many abilities. Focus on those. Focus on their strengths. So all my strategies are strength-based, like I said, and they come from love, never from fear. So what are your kids good at? Make sure you are engaging those. Make sure you are fueling those. Make sure you are firing it up. Make sure you're filling up their toolbox with those. There's going to be things that are hard for them. How can you inform the things that are hard for them with their strengths? Is there a way that that can happen? So their needs is another one. Their needs, remember, 98% of the time, challenging behaviors or a lack of skill or an unmet need. So their needs, what are some of those needs? That same little boy that was in the lunch line that was turning around and standing up. I went to his school before this one and they were not paying attention to his needs. So one of his needs were movement. He's not awesome at sitting still. Neither am I, remember? I'm anchored to my computer right now. Otherwise, I'd be walking around my living room. So what kind of movement do kids need? How do they need to move? Can they find it independently? Is the only time they can move outside? Because if that's the only time they can move, you're going to have a hard time. Love and care. So love languages is another one. Attention. So their need, so I get that a lot from teachers and parents, like, oh, they just want my attention. Start entering into a conversation about how much attention is enough attention for them. If we call them needy, it means they need more attention. Talk to them about what that looks like for them, and that you're trying, and that it's something that you're giving it a go, and you're really trying to meet that need of attention. Peace is another need. Leadership, some kids with that dominant temperament really want to lead. How can they do that in an appropriate way? Communication, that interactive temperament needs to communicate. To have silent lunches is hugely hard and not at all easy for someone who has communication as a need. For myself, I am really not good at being quiet. So making sure you look at that and then figure out how to meet those needs and as often as possible. If the kids are old enough, you're going to enter into a conversation about, like, I know what you need and I'm going to try to meet that need. We're going to talk about it every so often about if I'm meeting it or not. So those are the next three. So the next three, did you write them down? We got put the relationship first, change how you see, not just how you act, and respect. So remember, if you want more help with challenging behaviors or need some ideas to fill your parent or teacher toolbox, go to megthompson.com or email me at meg@megthompson.com. Don't forget that second G. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called, to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You have your paper and pencil. We're going to do 7, 8, and 9. Remember, you're listening to The Empty Toolbox with me, Meg Thompson, on Transformation Talk Radio. So we're on number 7. We have 5 more to go. Right, is that right? Yep, 7 plus 5. Yep, remember I said I was really bad at math, so I want to make sure I added right. And then at the end, right, with after these 5, you're going to have 12 new strategies. Pretty great, right? All right, so here we go. Number 7, be authentic. Know that I don't know how to teach this one yet. So I go into a lot of homes and I go into a lot of schools and I hear that disingenuous voice. Do you want to hear it? You ready for it? Hey, buddy, it's time for you to go to the bathroom now, okay? And I'm thinking, he is 5. I went into a school once and the director looked at me and goes, Meg, we're so glad you're here today. And I'm looking around like, me, Meg? I'm 36. What do you mean? Right? Like, why are you talking to me like that? And I think a lot of kids see through that voice. First of all, that voice drives me bonkers. And I can't for the life of me figure out how to nicely tell people to change it. Like, it is one thing to be kind and endearing with kids. We do attract in early childhood or in education the teachers that are really nurturing, which is awesome. It is also the temperament that is most likely to use that voice. So please talk to children in a real, genuine way. If something comes out of your mouth and you are picturing second grade spelling test sticker, stop it. Do you know what the second grade spelling test sticker is? Remember, it was like a shooting star that said, fabulous, fantastic, right on, way to go, good job, right? Good work, right? And it's like shooting star and it's like a sparkle sticker and you got it on your second grade spelling test because you spelled horse right. I don't even know if that's a second grade word, but I'm pretending. I know. Don't sound like a second grade spelling test sticker. So kids have to know where your line is when they've crossed the line with firm and neutral or firm and kind. They also have to know when you're being funny, they have to know when you're being serious. You can't always have that disingenuous voice. And for me, I see through it. I see kids that see through it all the time. Next month, we'll talk about that dominant temperament. That dominant temperament, if you use that voice with them, sees it as like, oh, wishy-washy, I can get her. And they will try everything to get it their way. So watch that disingenuous voice. Be authentic with kids. Be real with kids. Okay, that's number 7. Number 8, talk less, ask and act more. I had mentioned this one back in the last break. So that is a strategy in my house, ask more questions. So don't jump to conclusions. Did anybody think of Office Space? Did that pop in your head? To the jump to conclusions mat, remember? So don't buy the mat. Don't jump to conclusions. Ask more questions. Not every situation calls for a dissertation on manners, on hitting, on pushing, on not doing what they need to do. So find out what's really happening. Find out what they are thinking, what's going on in their head, and what they're not saying out loud. So if you're going to talk less and act, instead of talking to your child about a toy, just go and take the toy and hold it and have a conversation. I was tired. So in my house, this is what we did. I was tired of asking my son to brush his teeth. I walked into the bathroom. I put toothpaste on his toothbrush and I gave it to him and walked away. He doesn't like when I walk away because he likes to be close to me all the time. He walked over and asked me to stand with him while he brushed his teeth. And I said, sure can, bud. Another time, I wasn't up for the fight, right? Every night he fights over brushing his teeth, every single night. So I wasn't up for it, and we just went to bed. And I think in his head, he thought, ha, diggity dog, I won, beat her. And so we didn't mention it. I read a story. I gave him a kiss. I stayed in his room till he fell asleep. And the next day when he wanted to eat a treat, which is he will ask after breakfast. He never gets one after breakfast. Sometimes after lunch, most of the time after dinner. I looked at him and I said, ooh, when you don't brush your teeth, I can't let you have sugar, buddy. The sugar bugs will be on your teeth and they will rot. So if you're not going to brush your teeth, you can't have sugar. He brushed his teeth for a good 5 minutes that night. Sometimes the consequences don't happen right away. Sometimes the reason I know that my son wants me to stand next to him to brush his teeth is because when I would say to go and brush his teeth and he would whine and cry and flip out, I said, dude, right? I used my strategy of ask more questions. Buddy, why is toothbrushing always so hard? You are six. It shouldn't be that hard. He goes, mommy, I just want you to stand in the bathroom with me. Oh, I should have asked that question about 4 years ago when you started brushing your teeth. So ask more questions. Take a deep breath. Ask more questions because there are things going on in your child's head that you might not know about, you might not get, you might not see. And if they can voice their opinion, remember they have the same self-worth. They have the same respect. They need the same respect we have. So ask them more questions. Act more instead of talking. Sometimes we talk to kids and they don't think anything's going to happen. And if you don't follow through with what you're talking about, they're gonna write you off. So ask more questions, act more. All right, so that's number eight. Number nine, keep their ages in mind. What does that mean? What do you think when I say keep their ages in mind? Attention span. You know what the attention span of a three-year-old is? Under 5 minutes. You know what the attention span of an adult is? Less than that of a five-year-old. So remember when teachers, when you're at circle time and it's 15 minutes long, that's longer than the attention span of an adult. Developmental stages, know where your child is in development. Know that temper tantrums will happen when they're two. Know that posturing will happen when they're in preschool, when they're four and five. Posturing is, I'm not your friend. I'm not going to be your friend. And you're not coming to my birthday party. They're figuring out how to use power. That's posturing. And my least favorite one is the push-down curriculum. You know what the push-down curriculum is? Do you guys not know what that is? So the push-down curriculum is, when I was little, it was okay to go into first grade at six and not know how to read. Now we're hoping that kids read at like three or four. So we have two-year-olds now doing calendar when they currently go to the bathroom in their pants. We need to figure out one thing at a time. It's five-year-olds who still have a hard time sharing. Sharing is an attitude. Turn-taking is the skill. We have to teach turn-taking, teach the language for turn-taking. Three-year-olds don't have to be potty trained. I don't know how many parents talk to me and say, like, my kid's not potty trained. I'm having a really hard time. And I'm thinking they're like eight. I said, how old is your son? Three. Oh, you don't need to worry at three. Three's okay. Right? You're going to go for a month. And then you're going to lay off for a month. Three is okay if they're not potty trained. So there's so much expected of kids nowadays that we have to slow your roll. We got to slow it down. That push down curriculum is so hard for kids. I go into classrooms all the time, like for 2 years old, and they're expected to know this stuff that, right? And I think as parents, we want our kids to be really, really, really smart. And I get it. I want my kid to be really, really, really smart too. Know that in childcare centers and preschools, because I worked in kindergarten in a childcare setting for 10 years, that our job is social emotional growth. Our job is friendships and entering, maintaining, and exiting play and conversation. It is not necessarily circle. We're going to do a podcast on circle too. That one's going to be eye-opening for a lot of you. It is just not what we're pushing down, right? STEM is this big thing now, science, technology, engineering, and math. But now in childcare centers, the teachers are like, what do we do for STEM at 2 years old? And I was like, at two, show them the poop in their diaper. That's probably STEM. And right, and because we're not number one in the way that we're teaching STEM, so everybody, the government, I think, has thought to like push it down further. So, instead of changing the way we teach it and teaching new skills and meeting needs and doing this social emotional growth at the very beginning of life, we're going to do what? We're going to just have the kids do it at younger ages, which is going to get all these kids to be kids that know a lot of stuff, but maybe are kind of strange as adults because they don't know how to enter, maintain, and exit plan conversation. They don't know how to make friendships. They don't know how to carry on conversations or work with others. So keep their ages in mind. We need to slow our roll in education and take it a little bit at a time. Know what two-year-olds are capable of and what they should be doing, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, all the way up through high school and college. So we did our next three. So be authentic. Stop with that voice. If I could figure out, if anybody wants to email me, meg@megthompson.com, don't forget the other G, and tell me how to stop that voice from happening, I would greatly appreciate it. Talk less, act, and ask more. Remember to ask more questions and keep their ages in mind. So if your toolbox is filling up, but you would like to chat, and I'm here, and I'd love to help you fill it up to the very brim if you want. So email me again at meg@megthompson.com, and we'll be right back.
How powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, Navigating Through Life's Transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
You're listening to Meg Thompson and the Empty Toolbox on Transformation Talk Radio. We have three principles left, everyone. We have three more strategies. I hope that you have those nine in your toolbox and you're feeling good about them. Remember, you can always find me at megthompson.com, M-E-G-G, two G's. I'm probably going to say that for the rest of my life. Know that I have two G's in Meg because in Megan, it's M-E-A-G-H-A-N, and no one ever spelled it right, and no one ever said it right, so I changed it to Meg, but I couldn't just have one G because that's boring, so I made two, and now no one gets it right anyway, and still spells Megan wrong. So not sure it helped me out in the long run. So we have three guiding principles left. I hope that you're feeling a little better. Hopefully you have some you can use. I would love for you to start them tonight or today. Tonight. Yep, probably tonight. So here we go. Number 10 is don't stick your nose in unnecessarily. Nose being N-O apostrophe S, not nose like that's on your face. So there are words that some kids will fight all the time. They are, you ready? Write them down. No, stop, don't, can't, and wait. So no and stop need to be saved for when kids are running into the road. You have to say, no, stop. And they need to hear it in your voice that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble. Or, oh my gosh, I'm going to get hurt. And they stop and they turn around and look at you. There are certain kids that get, usually ones with challenging behaviors, get no and stop a lot. So I don't know what else you would use if they were going to be unsafe. So no and stop are saved for safety. Don't, can't, and wait. Tell some kids don't do that. They'll do it anyway. You can't do that. They'll do it anyway. And wait. Know that kids, right, we had talked about age, what's age appropriate, what's developmentally appropriate. Waiting for little ones, so hard. Anybody have a hard time waiting? Oh my gosh. I am fast-paced and energetic. I am not awesome at waiting. As a kid, not awesome at waiting. Still as an adult, not awesome at waiting. So some temperaments take these five words and twist them. So write them down. No, stop, don't, can't, and wait. Try to change those words to something else. So we call it creating a yes environment. So my son, always before dinner, Mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have a treat? I used to say no. And then what happens? Mommy, I want a treat. Blah, and he'd fall apart. So now he says, can I have a cookie? And I'll say, you sure can. Let's put it on a plate. You could have it after dinner. So we'll know right where it is so I don't forget. Because my son knows that I forget a lot of things. So instead of saying, no, you can't, you could say, you sure can after dinner. All right, so that's number 10. So number 10 is don't stick your nose in unnecessarily, which means you have to stop and pause. Again, it's time and patience. You have to take a deep breath. You have to figure out how to change your no's into yeses. So come up with three. So for me, it was one of mine is you sure can after dinner. Come up with three that are your go-tos that you can use until you're really good at changing the no's to yeses. Number 11 for a tool is don't be rigid. Flexibility is your greatest tool, and it's probably already in the bottom of your toolbox. It might be have a little dust bunnies crawling around. It's almost always available to you. So if you think your toolbox is empty, you almost always have flexibility. There are children that always think, love, run, and live outside the traditional box. Putting them back in the box because we are inflexible, which I see all the time, is emotionally unsafe for them. And know that they will not stay in the box. I am an outside-the-box thinker. I am non-traditional in my thoughts. I am non-traditional in my behavior strategies. I know that the kids that I get called in for are already outside the box. I refuse to put them back in. I am going to build them their own box outside, which means I have to be more flexible than people have been with them, either parents or teachers. So I get a lot of, you don't follow the rules a lot. No, I work with a lot of kids who don't follow the rules. So I have to make sure that I am not putting them inside that box and I'm figuring out how I can help them succeed and help them do well with using my flexibility. So where do I see parents being inflexible? Parents want things done right now. Teachers want things done right now. Wanting it to be done exactly as you say. So if you say, do this, this, and this, and a kid does it in a different order, I see a lot of teachers upset about that. Not wanting to wait for a kid to do something. Sometimes we have to ask a child to do something, count to 10 in our heads, not out loud, they'll join you. That's annoying. So just like you used to when you were little, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, till you get to 10. Because some kids take a while to process, right? They're getting their ducks in a row. There are other kids like me that have squirrels and they don't have to do that, but they might have a different reason. Be open to a child doing it their own way. So it's okay. It's okay if a kid does it their own way. If the end result is the same, give them a chance, right? That's where you can ask more questions. Wanting it done exactly in a certain order. So stay flexible in thought and action. Remember that tool is almost always available, not available during safety concerns, but otherwise almost always available. It's one you always have in your toolbox. The way to show a child that you are flexible is to ask them questions, to ask what they need, to ask what they envision. Number 12, the last one, we're here. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we're here. Don't be in a hurry. Children don't care about our schedules. They don't care about that the kids get off the bus at a certain time, that you have to have lunch at a certain time, that circle has to be this long, that, right? They don't care about our schedules. We want them to really bad. They don't really. So my son in the morning is so slow. He is fast in a lot of things, so slow in the morning. And I know that I can't go to a workshop and have it start at 9 and I get there at 9:30 because I couldn't get my one kid out of the house, right? Doesn't show very good strategies, doesn't maybe show that I'm a really good behavior consultant if I can't get my own kid out of the house. Know that my own kid is the hardest because I'm so emotionally attached to him. Know that your own kids, if you're a teacher and a parent, I think I'm a great behavior consultant. As a mother, sometimes I'm like, oh, man. And my husband will say, what would you do in this situation if this was not your house, but you were a behavior consultant in this house? And I would, and I can name off everything. And my husband will go, well, then do that and stop doing what you're doing. And I was like, right. So a lot of it has to do with hurrying. So one time my son, I said, bud, you got to put on your shoes because we got to go. And I swear it was like molasses. Oh my gosh, so slow to get to his shoes. And I looked at him and I said, buddy, get your shoes on. And he turns around, he looks at me and he goes, I'm working on it. You know what I don't like? I don't like when you yell at me and when you rush me. And I thought, oh, there goes Mother of the Year. I think my certificate was in the mail. They probably revoked it, took it away. My son always says that, Mom, why are you rushing me? Because, bud, I have to get out of the house at a certain time. But is that his fault? No, it's my fault. I don't wake him up early enough. I don't have enough things done. I'm not flexible. I can get, when I know I'm going to be late, I'm already like, and like my head explodes and my squirrels come out and they run all over the house. And it's so frustrating. So don't be in a hurry. I know that's really hard. What sort of things can you do to not be in a hurry? My one suggestion is make lunches at night, pack stuff at night, backpacks at night, put them in the car, pick out clothes at night, do all that stuff at night. We'll keep talking about that as we go. Different months in this podcast. So we got through all 12. Are we ready? Let's review them real quick. You think I can find them all? My squirrels? Okay, here we go. Be reflective. Reconsider your request. Keep your eyes on the long-term goals. Remember, time and patience, no quick fixes. Relationships come first. Change how you see, not just how you act. Respect. Remember? Think Aretha Franklin and my singing. I'm sure you thought it was awesome. Be authentic. Talk less, act, and ask more. Remember, ask more questions. Keep their ages in mind. Don't stick your nose, NO apostrophe S, in unnecessarily. Don't be rigid and don't be in a hurry. Oh my gosh. We did it. We did it. We made it through all 12 guiding principles. I'm so psyched you joined me for my first podcast. I hope my squirrels weren't too evident. And I already can't wait till next month for the DISC model. You're going to be so excited. I hope you tune in next month. There'll be more strategies for your toolbox. Remember, you can find me at megthompson.com. Two G's, M-E-G-G. Thompson is T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.com. Stay tuned. Thanks, guys. Bye. Thank you for listening to The Empty Toolbox. Fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up with Meg Thompson. Tune in the first Wednesday every month, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Meg, a certified behavioral consultant and certified life coach working with children, adults, and families, combines humor, new strategies, and non-traditional thoughts challenging mainstream ideas to find emotional wellness for all children. For more information or to listen to this show, visit MegThompson.com.